Turn with me to the book of Daniel chapter 7 this morning. When you look at the book of Daniel, you read chapters 1 through 6, and you have the historical facts about the book of Daniel. But then in chapter 7 through chapter 12, now he speaks prophetically. And what the book does now, it goes, instead of going forward, it goes backwards. And what it does in chapter 7, it takes you back between chapter 3 and 4. To King Belshazzar, which was destroyed by God in chapter 5 of Daniel. And Daniel has a dream vision. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever had a dream. I've had a lot of weird dreams, but I had one dream, half like a half dream, half vision, one time in my lifetime, and it was concerning the ministry that God had given to me. My wife dreams a lot, and she has a lot of warning dreams. But I think it's really important that we understand that dreams and visions are real and there for today. And at the same time, when God speaks to us through a dream or a vision, we should really, if it's of the Lord and you feel that God is giving you this dream, you should write it down and wait on God to reveal it, whether it's true or not. And this is what happened to Daniel. Daniel had a dream vision and he wrote it down because it was an important dream vision that God was given to him, not only about his time, but about the future of the world. And surely we know that we are living in some incredible days. I love to scan the internet and go through all the news stations. And then I like to read the newspapers and the magazines to find out, next to my Bible, if we truly are living in the last days. And you know what? We are. We are living at the last days. How can Daniel 2,500 years ago speak to us in chapter 7 about what's happening today? How did he know that? Well, God spoke to him. God spoke to him and revealed it to him. And what's incredible is that it's amazing to me that so many people, not only outside of the church, but within the church, are not aware of what time it is in the clock today, prophetically speaking. Because you can see it by there is no urgency in their lives. If we really believe that Jesus Christ was going to come today at 12 o'clock noon, what would you be doing with your life today? Think about it for a moment. If he was to return today. The thing about prophecy and the thing about the scriptures is that no man knoweth the day or the hour, but the signs of the times are given to us. Not only with Ezekiel the prophet, but Daniel, John in the book of Revelation, Hosea, Malachi, Joel. All these prophets spoke of things to come. Not only they saw things in their own time, but things that would happen in the last days. We call that eschatology, the last things that God spoke about. And when I look at the world, and I look at the governments of the world, and I look what's happening in Russia today, and I look at the African continent, and I look at South America, and I look at Asia, I look at Europe, surely I can proclaim to you this morning, Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. All the signs of the times are fresh. You can see them. You can hear about them in the 21st century. And to me, I am so glad that Daniel wrote these things down for us. That 2,500 years ago, whoever thought that we would be reading the prophecies of Daniel. Even here this morning. Let's look at the book of Daniel and see how God speaks to us this morning. Beginning with chapter 7, verses 1 through 8, we have the four beasts that Daniel saw. He says, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon. Now, who was Belshazzar? Belshazzar was the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar had died. His wife remarried. And then here is his grandson, and his grandson now is a wicked king. If you remember in chapter 5, he was having a party, but the party was an orgy. And they were eating and drinking and laying with women and doing things that were not lawful. And then the greatest thing that he did is he went and he got all of the consecrated vessels of God that his grandfather had taken in captivity. And he began to pour wine and to drink out of the bowls and the cups that belong in the temple of God. He desecrated the things of God and God killed him at the end. I wonder what God would do today with so many people desecrating the things of God today. No fear of God in their lives, but continue to live a life of evil, to lie and to cheat, to fornicate, to commit adultery, to lie and to steal and to cheat. These are the sins of the church today. And I think it's important that we understand that we don't forget that one day we are all going to stand in the presence of God. The righteous and the unrighteous. And what will happen? There will be a day of judgment. Your mom, your dad, your wife, your husband, your friends, your loved ones won't be there to defend you. They won't even speak up. Why? Because God has a record. God keeps a record book of everything that we ever do. And what's cool about that is that the only people that will be able to get rid of that record are those that are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. The rest, from the day they were born to the day they die, every thought, every intent of the heart, every action is written in the book of life. Imagine that. Everything you've ever done. And so it's really important that we understand that if there is a day of judgment coming, then what kind of a person I ought to be today in the life of my family, with my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, what kind of a heritage am I leaving behind for them spiritually? All these things are important today in the Church of Jesus Christ. And the reason I say those things is because families are very weak today. There's a lot of families that are divided and separated. You know, there's a lot of fighting going on among relatives and loved ones and friends. And yet the Bible says that we are to be united, we are to be in fellowship of love, forgiving and forgetting, and going forward ahead in the things of God. We surely don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God in our lives by sinning against God. We want to make sure that we are repentant and that we really have a change of heart and attitude and a change of life and that we're not being hypocritical in our fellowship with God and with men. Very important. Daniel was such a man of integrity. He just blows me away when I read him. He was dedicated, consecrated to God. He was willing to do anything for God and very open to the Holy Spirit of God, no matter how young he was or no matter how old he got. Always open to the Holy Spirit for God to use his life. And so now here he is at the age of 84 years old. And God speaks to him. Look what he says. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions on his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. So Daniel didn't take it lightly. He began to write down what he dreamed. He remembered. Most of my problem is when I dream, I don't remember. You know, but Daniel remembered everything he dreamed in his dream. And let's check this out, verse 2. And then Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, four winds of heaven were steering up the great sea. What do you mean, Daniel? Well, as I was sleeping, half awake, half asleep, I saw this huge ocean of water. Now, what's interesting, in Palestine, he was in Babylon at this particular time. But the waters of the area where Babylon and Assyria and Israel are today, there are only four bodies of water, the Sea of Galilee, the Dead Sea, the Jordan River, and guess what? The Mediterranean Sea. That's what Daniel saw. The Mediterranean Sea. This huge, see, I mean, I remember the first time when I used to look at the Bible maps, and I had been to Israel, I looked at the Mediterranean, and you know, in your Bible maps, it looks kind of small. But let me tell you something, in the last 2 years, we sailed on that sea with Pastor Chuck Smith, and I can't believe how huge it is. It's huge. All the way traveling to Turkey, up to Greece and Rome. Incredible. That Paul the Apostle used to ship, you know, just get on a ship and travel through these places over and over. 3 missionary journeys he did. And it's amazing because here Daniel sees the Mediterranean and it speaks of what? It speaks of that area of the world where God is going to do a work. Not only in the beginning, but at the end. And if you read historical facts, if you go to college, and you take a class on geography, whatever it may be, or you know, history, you will learn that there were actually 5 major empires: Egypt, Assyria, and then Babylon, and the Medes and the Persians, and then Greece, and then the 6th would be what? The Roman Empire, and the 7th will be the revived Roman Empire, which is active even today in our own world. Believe it or not, I'm going to show you. Already happening today. And so here we are as Daniel now sees this great sea of water, the Mediterranean. And in the Bible, there are types and symbols. In the Mediterranean, it becomes a symbol in Scripture of the multitudes of people in the world. A lot of people he sees on the sea of humanity. But then check this out, verse 3. And then 4 great beasts came out from the Mediterranean, each different from each other. So all of a sudden he's looking in this vision and dream, and he sees out of the actual Mediterranean Sea these 4 beasts coming out of the water, and every one of them are different. Sounds like a movie, you know? Verse 4, here's the first one. And the first one was like a lion, and it had eagle's wings. Lions don't have wings. What is he talking about? Well, when you go back to Babylon and you study Babylonian history, in all of their designs on the walls and pictures, you have these lions with wings, which was the culture of Babylon. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the Babylonian Empire. Now, some commentaries believe that this is not only the Babylonian Empire, but they proclaim that this actually also Daniel was speaking of Europe, and he was speaking of England, as England was a great power at one time, not today. I don't believe that. I believe what he started in chapter 2 and in chapter 7 is the same. He's talking about King Nebuchadnezzar. He's talking about the Babylonian Empire. And check this out what he says. I watched until his wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand in 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Notice it wasn't eternal, it was temporal. Remember that King Nebuchadnezzar, while he was ruling and reigning, he became very proud, and what happened to him? God allowed him for 7 years to go out into the wilderness to grow long hair, to grow a beard, I mean, so long, and long nails, and he became demon-possessed for 7 years, and he ate grass with the wild oxes, remember? Until he could say that God is the one that rules, and Nebuchadnezzar is nobody. That's what he's talking about. Talking about he was plucked off. God punished him, God chasing him. Eventually, King Nebuchadnezzar came to the Lord, but his grandson didn't. His grandson was worst off. He was a total heathen, and he was a polluter of the minds of men, and he was destroyed by God. Belshazzar was his name. Secondly, in verse 5, he gives you the second empire. And by the way, Babylon only ruled historically for 70 years. That's it. That's all it reigned. In verse 5, he's talking about the Medes and the Persians. King Darius and King Cyrus. Look what he says. And suddenly another beast, a second one, like a bear. And it was raised up on one side and had 3 ribs on its mouth between its teeth. And they said thus to it, get up, devour much flesh. Can you imagine in your own dream and vision watching this fierce animal, which was a bear with 3 ribs on its mouth, and saying, I want more meat. I want to destroy. Well, some commentators also say that, first of all, you know, Babylon was England, and the bear here is a picture of the Soviet Union, Russia, because in their actual flags they have a bear. It's been called the bear. But you know what's amazing? This is in reference to the Medes and the Persians. And what's amazing, the three ribs on its mouth, he's speaking of Egypt, Lydia, and Babylon, which were also came under the dominion of who? Under the dominion of the Medes and the Persians. You can read it historically. In a secular college, you can read this. And here, how did Daniel know all this? God showed it to him. God showed him everything that was going to happen. The Medes and the Persians, under Darius and Cyrus, they ruled for 200 years, and then their empire collapsed. And guess who came after them? Alexander the Great. The third one, verse 6. And after this I looked, and there was another, like a leopard, which had on its back four wings as a bird, and the beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. Now these critical commentarians, they say that this third beast, the leopard, is today the Muslim nations. I don't believe that. Okay? I think that's stretching the truth. Because in chapter 2, again, of the book of Daniel, we see that the third world empire was who? Alexander the Great, the Grecian Empire. And they ruled for 200 years. Until Alexander the Great, in 13 years, you can read this in college, 13 years he ruled the world, conquered the world in 13 years. And one day he sat down and he said, I've conquered the whole world. What do I have left? He had nothing in life. And one night he got drunk and he got drunk and he fell asleep in the rain, caught pneumonia, and the next day he died. At the age of 33 years old, Alexander the Great. Daniel will tell us more about him in chapter 11. It's pretty interesting how he died. How did Daniel know all these things? God revealed it to him. God spoke to him divinely. It wasn't secular history. Secular history is approved by the Bible because the Bible spoke it first. And check this out. This is so incredible. He says in verse 7, here comes now. And when he talks about the four wings of a bird and the beast that had four heads, the four heads, you can read it secularly and historically, the four heads when Alexander the Great died, his four generals took over the kingdom and they broke up into different little kingdoms. You can read that. It's pretty incredible how Daniel knew that. Here through symbols that he's given to us in the Word of God. And then verse 7, the fourth kingdom. This is the one we got to keep our eye on. And after this, I saw in the night visions. Behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong, and it had a huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the rest of it with its feet. And it was different from all the other beasts that were ever before it. And it had 10 horns. Interesting. Totally different. Totally different. Did you know that the Roman Empire, again, historically, writing the writings of one of the secular writers on the world empire of Rome, that Rome literally ruled for 1,500 years, not only built all of the roads that lead to all the parts of the world in Europe, but they were conquerors, and they were killers, and they were partiers. But the most amazing thing, in the first 500 years of the Roman Empire, they never, ever, ever had one divorce. Until after 500 years, it began to collapse. And it didn't collapse from the outside. The enemy was not from the outside. The enemy that overtook Rome was within inside of the camp. They themselves destroyed themselves. So here he's talking about the Roman Empire. But there's 10 horns. Well, he also goes into the future. And what he does, again, comparing chapter 2 of Daniel, Revelations chapter 13, Revelations chapter 17, chapter 18, and we read through the scriptures, that now we have the revived Roman Empire, and what do we call that today? We call it the Trilateral Community of Europe, the Common Market. Remember that name. You can go online or you can get a book on that and they'll tell you. And you can look up every one of the major countries. It's not 12 or 13. 10 will be ruling in the last days. And all 10 that will rule, the Bible says, they will be from the old Roman Empire. Interesting. We call that the revived Roman Empire. You see, is that happening today? It's been happening for a while now. Started back in 1962. You see, what happened now is that we have the Trilateral Community of Europe, and what are they doing now? The Euro dollar? They're trying to come up with their own monetary system all over Europe. And the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that in the last days, there is going to be a one world currency. And it's not going to be the Euro dollar. It's not going to be Visa. It's not going to be MasterCard. The Bible says that there will be a man arising, you'll see in a moment, out of the 10 nations, there'll be a little horn. There'll be 11 horns. And the 11th horn will be the power ruler, which we call the Antichrist, and he will rule the world with a rod of iron, and he will bring the world into a one world government and monetary and military and political system. That's what the Bible says. And I'd rather believe the Bible than anybody else. Why? Because I've studied and I can see already it's already working. And we're being led to that. Yes, the United States of America is totally separate. Who knows? Maybe the United States of America, you know, in Canada and, you know, Scotland and England and Ireland and, you know, all the way to Australia and New Zealand, all of the Americas maybe will be destroyed in order to be played in this part of the prophecy that God's talking about, because we do have to come into that play. The Bible says in Revelation 13 that nobody will be able to buy, sell, do anything unless you have the mark of the beast of the Antichrist, the 11th horn, where? In your right hand or in your forehead. Not on your rear end, not on your ear, not in back of your back, in your right hand or your ear. Not in your ear. Or your forehead. The Bible is very clear. And yet people try to say, well, you know, what about if you get it here? You can get it anywhere you want. But if they see the right hand and forehead, let me tell you, you know that this is the last time. We've been warned why. Because if you take it in your right hand, or you take it in your forehead, guess what? You will be damned forever. That's what the Bible says. You have compromised your position. And the Bible says there's no forgiveness. You can cut your arm off, you can blow your head off, and you still won't go to heaven. Because once you take the mark of the beast, you will be damned. Why? It is the mark of the devil. It is the mark of the Antichrist, 666. That's what my Bible teaches me. That's why I'm not too cool about, you know, all these people getting the mark and, you know, everybody's real happy about, you know, the economy. No, let me tell you, we're coming to it. It's coming. And the Trilateral Community is playing a big part today with the United States of America. And at the same time, we're trying to bring the whole world into one world monetary system, one world government, and all these things. And yet people think there's hope for tomorrow. There is no hope for tomorrow. It's going to get worse. The Bible says that. That's why there's an emptiness in the heart of men. Why? Because man has been created for eternity, not for this world. That's why we search for so many things and we're unhappy. No matter what we buy, no matter what we do, we're unhappy. That's why every weekend people have to get drunk, take drugs to escape this world, because they think that's going to bring them fulfillment. Yeah, it does for a little while, but then you're back to normal. And that's the way life is. So Daniel is warning, Daniel is preparing the way for the world. Look what he says in verse 8. And then I was considering the horns. So he's looking at this beast and the horns. And there was another horn, the 11th, a little one, coming up from among them. Notice that. He comes up from among them. He is going to rise through the Trilateral Community of Europe. Interesting. He's going to rise through the Trilateral Community of Europe. And then what does it say? He was coming up among them before whom there, whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there is this horn with the eyes of a man, but a mouth speaking blasphemies against God. Interesting. He hates God. He speaks against God. Don't you remember that when the Antichrist comes in Revelation 13? In Zechariah 13, 7 through 9, what does he tell you? He tells you that he goes against the Jews. Not in the first 3.5 years of tribulation. 7 years will be the total. The 70 week of that, we'll get to that in chapter 9. But in the 7 year tribulation period, once the rapture comes and the church is taken out of the way, in Ezekiel 38 and 39 are fulfilled. Then the Antichrist will make his appearance and he will set an order for the whole world. And the Jews will like him for a while, for 3.5 years, because he'll play the tune to them. But in the middle of the 3.5 years, you'll see in a moment here, he will say, okay, you guys, I'm going to give you permission to rebuild your temple. The third temple has to be rebuilt. And when the third temple is rebuilt, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 through 11, Revelation 13, what? That he will go into the temple and he will sit as God in the temple. And that's in Matthew 24 and 25 when the Jews actually come against him. And then Revelation chapter 11, they rebel against him. Why? Because he tries to kill the Jews because they will not accept him as God. And he kills 2/3 of the Jewish nation, more than Hitler ever killed. And by the grace of God, 1/3 of the Jews will be spared, and they will flee from Israel. They'll go across Jordan, and they'll go over to the city of Petra, which has already been prepared for them, a city where there's only one way in, one way out, and millions of Jews can live in there, and it's already prepared for them, and they will live there for the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Otherwise, they would not survive. God already prepared it. Is there such a city? Oh, I've been there. It's incredible. Some of you went with us this last time. It's incredible. God already has said it. And this is the way it's going to happen. God already has destined the way the world is going to end. And Israel is the major player. They're playing a big role in the world today. And here Daniel is speaking about these things. Look what he says in verse 9. And then I watched till the thrones were put in place. And the Ancient of Days was seated. Now here's a picture now that Daniel has, not of Jesus Christ, but God the Father sitting on the throne to commit judgment. Interesting. He says his garment was white as snow, and the hair on his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame. Its wheels were burning with fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth before him. 1,000,000 ministered to him. 10,000 times stood before him. And the court was seated and the books were open. It's a picture of the throne of God. Revelations chapter 4 and 5. Read it when you go home. 100 billion angels standing in the presence of God. 1/3 of the angels left with Satan. And 2/3 of the angels stayed with God. 1 billion angels standing on the throne of God as God the Father is getting ready to do judgment. As the books are going to be opened and they're going to be judged. Imagine that. That's the future of the church. That's where we're heading. The world doesn't even recognize it. One day, even though they die in this life and they get buried in their own little, you know, graves, one day they're going to stand before God. And no mother and no father and no brother and no sister and no son, no daughter or grandson will be able to defend you or to speak out for you. You'll have to speak for yourself. That's why it's so important to understand what God says in His Word. There is a day of judgment coming. And then what does he say in verse 11? And I watched them because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. So here, notice he's again the Antichrist, which he was speaking. I watched, and the beast, the Antichrist, was killed, and its body destroyed and given to a burning flame. What does it say in the book of Revelation? He was cast in chapter 20 of Revelations. The Antichrist and Satan were cast into the lake of fire with hell. After the judgment in Revelation 20, 11 through 15. Cast into the lake of fire. That's where they'll end up in judgment. And then what? As for the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, and yet their lives were prolonged for a season and for a time. Now what are some of the sins that a nation can commit, and why would God judge a nation? Well, number one, I believe that He would judge a nation because of the sin of darkness. Darkness, no light. Secondly, God would judge because of the pleasure madness in this nation. Pleasure madness. Thirdly, because of the sin of idolatry, the worship of other gods and idols. Fifthly, the sin of blasphemy. Sixth, the sin of willful rejection of Jesus Christ in people's hearts. The rejection of the truth. And then the sin of unbelief, seventh. And then eighth, the sin of greed. And then the ninth sin would be the sin of materialism. And tenth, the sin of humanism. And then check this out. The last sin would be the sin of corruption in leadership. The leadership corruption in the whole nation. It is so important that we understand that God will judge. He will judge. And God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's the heart of God. That's why you parents have such a great responsibility in instructing your little children. Bringing them to church so they can go to Sunday school and learn about God. And then at home, leading them and guiding them, being an example to them so that as they grow up to their teenage years, they become young adults, and then they become adults, they can remember and reflect back and say, you know what, mother and my father, they taught me the truth about God. And even though they may sidetrack for a little bit, they'll always come back to the truth. So important to do that. So here God speaks to our own hearts. And then look what else He says in verse 13. He speaks about Jesus now. And I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, coming in the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought Him near before Him. This is speaking of the second coming of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 1, He talks about it in verse 11. He's coming back again. And remember in Revelation chapter 1, what He says? I'll show you in a second here. Here's John the Beloved in the book of Revelation. In chapter 1, He says this in verse 7. Behold, He is coming with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also who pierce Him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of Him. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Matthew 24, Matthew 25, Luke 13, Mark 13, Luke 21. All these places Jesus talks about His coming again. So here Daniel sees Him at the great second coming and brilliance and judgment coming back to the earth. Verse 14. And then to Him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people and nations and languages should serve. Notice Him. His dominion is everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and His kingdom is one which shall be not destroyed. What is He talking about? The second coming of Jesus Christ, the 45-day judgment of the nations, and then the 1,000-year reign of Christ, the kingdom age, where we, the church of Jesus Christ, come back with Christ at the second coming, and we shall rule forever and ever with Him for 1,000 years. Satan will be bound into the bottom of the pit for 1,000 years. Those people living at that particular time after the 7-year tribulation, those that did not take the mark of the beast in the right hand or forehead, they will be able to go into the millennium kingdom and repopulate the whole earth. But there will be a time where God will be so strict that if anybody disobeys, immediately you will be killed. He will rule with a rod of iron in the kingdom age. Look what He says. This is so cool. He says in verse 15, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit within my body. And here's a vision. And the visions of my head troubled me. And I came near to one of those who stood by and asked him the truth of all these things. And he told me, notice, and he told me, and he made known to me the interpretation of the things. Who's talking to? The angels that are talking to Daniel. And those great beasts which are four kings or kingdoms which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High God shall receive a kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Notice what's going to happen to us and to those people that believe in Christ. They will rule and reign with Jesus Christ. And then what? Verse 19. And then I wish to know the truth about the four beasts, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful in its teeth and iron and nails of bronze. which devour broken pieces and trample the rest of his feet. And then I said, well, okay, but I'm more interested. Well, who is this fourth kingdom? Of course, we know the Roman Empire. Watch what he says. And the 10 horns that were in its head, and the one horn which came up before the three fell, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows, the Antichrist, and the Trilateral Community of Europe. Verse 21. And I was watching, and the same horn, the Antichrist, was making war against the saints. And the word saints there is against who? The Jews. In the last 3.5 years of tribulation, and prevailing against them, 2/3 of the Jews he kills. Until what? Until the Ancient of Days came, and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Jews of the Most High God, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. God intervened to the Jews. They killed 2/3 of the Jews, but he saved 1/3 of the Jews. God stepped in. And thus saith he, the fourth beast shall be like a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it and break it in pieces. The Roman Empire conquered the whole world. And then 10 horns and 10 kings. Here's now the Trilateral Community of Europe, which is today already working for the last days. Who shall arise from his kingdom, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be different from the first ones, and shall subdue 3 kings. And he, the Antichrist, shall speak pompous words against the Most High God, shall persecute the saints of the Most High God, and shall intend to change the times and the law. Interesting. He's going to try to change the Jews. He can't. And then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time, times and a half a time. How long? 3.5 years. The last 3.5 years of world history, the Great Tribulation. Zechariah 13:7-9, verse 26. But the court shall be seated, which is that, the judgment of the nations, Matthew 25. And they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. The Antichrist will be done away with. And then the kingdom and dominion, the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven, shall be given to the people, to the saints of the Most High God. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Notice what we will do in the kingdom age. Serve and obey. Serve and obey who? God. Jesus Christ. And this is the end of the account. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly trouble me, and my countenance changed, but I kept this matter in my heart. And should we not keep these things in our hearts? Stay tuned to next week, chapter 8. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love, for your grace, for your mercies. And Lord God, we pray this morning for those that are here visiting, those that have been here many times, and maybe those that are here for the first time. Especially those, Father, that are not born again of the Holy Spirit, but maybe they attend a church or they're religious, or maybe they're atheist. And Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit is the only way that can ever convert anybody. If there's anyone here this morning that would like to repent in their hearts and ask Jesus Christ to help you, to cleanse you and wash you from all your sins, and by faith, as you come to him, he'll write your name in the book of life. He'll give you eternal life, which means if you were to die today, if you receive Christ, you would go to heaven, not hell. Young or old, it doesn't matter who you are. If you would like to receive Jesus Christ, we're going to give you that opportunity right now. We're not talking about church or religion. We're talking about a personal relationship that can only come through Jesus Christ today.